I'm very excited. I feel like where God has taken everybody to. I feel like God has really moved everybody. Does it not seem like years since January? Is anybody else there? I mean, it seems like decades ago we were back at the first of the year. But I really believe God is bringing everybody along this incredible path. And He is establishing feet. And I'm going to tell you that God is bringing us into a place where I heard it said at the beginning of this year. My dad said continuously to me over and over again. He said, you'll get into a place this year, sweetheart. He said, where you will have peace no matter what is going on around you. He said, you won't even notice anything that's going on around you. He said, that's where you'll get into perfect peace. And I kept on saying, I am so not there. You know, I was like, I didn't quite understand where God, I think He, you know, I love our pastors. They have such incredible spiritual eyesight, like those eagles that can see way ahead. And I'm still like, it's warfare. He said, but peace is coming. It's warfare, but peace is coming. But I'm going to tell you, you can get into a place in such perfect peace where it don't matter how big the storm is or how heavy it seems to be going on around you. Just like Jesus in the bottom of that boat, He was in perfect peace. It didn't even faze Him. And I'm going to tell you, church, I believe that God is supernaturally moving us there without us even having a clue. I'll say without me even having a clue. I think God is doing something supernaturally to strengthen and to equip and to walk us into a place of peace no matter what the world or the enemy tries to bring to us. How many of you are glad we have a good, good Father? We've got a good Holy Spirit that's got us going somewhere even if we don't have a clue where we're going. So I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to confess this over you. I believe that you are going to experience more peace in these next coming seasons than you've had at any probably time in your life. I believe God is not just giving us this in a dose. I believe God is doing something for us eternally. He is working an eternal work in our hearts. And so we're going to learn, and we are being equipped in this incredible peace. But to fully understand what I think God is doing, we've got to dive into an understanding of what peace is. Because peace is so broad. It just is. And the world's form of peace has no comparison, and it doesn't even look, smell, or think like what God's peace is. You know, Jesus even said that, you know, what this world has to offer you in this area, it's nothing like what I have. So if you're wanting that, don't come get this. But God gives us a peace. God gives us a peace that totally transforms us, regardless if what around us is transformed. And that's a good thing. I'll just tell you that this world's going to get eviler. You just got to know that. This world is going to get worse. But we are not. So we are going to get into a place where it doesn't matter what the world looks like. It don't matter where the world is going. We are secured in our place in God, and that we live in this perpetual peace that God offers us, that God gives us. Now, I've heard it been said by most anybody I've ever met, I want peace. I want to live in peace. I want to have peace. But to be honest with you, a lot of people have no desire for peace in their life. And I have a tendency to be that way in some areas of my life. Because to have peace in your life, you have to be a person that decides that you want to walk out the Spirit of God in every situation. And the Spirit of God in every situation means that you might not always look like you win in every situation. And if you're a little bit like me, I'll say like I used to, I'm getting better. I'm telling you, I'm getting better. I don't trip up as much as I used to. Still do sometimes. But I used to have to win every argument regardless if I won it at all. As long as you were convinced I won, I was good. If you've ever had an argument with Cricket, I love him to death, but he's a little bit like me. You put me and him in a room together, and it might be drawing blood before the end of it because one of us is going to be right, and it's not going to be him. I'm joking. It usually is him. He's a lot smarter than I am. But if you are going to be a person that's going to pursue peace, you're going to have peace in areas of your life where it doesn't come easy sometimes. If you're going to be a person that pursues peace, you're going to have to be okay with other people winning. You're going to have to be okay in situations working out for the benefit of others. You're going to have to be okay with taking a humble road. And if you're going to be someone that pursues peace, you're going to have to quit arguing and stirring up the pot. I know none of you are like that. I'm going to tell you, I've met some people, they are not happy unless they're quarreling. There are some people that if they don't have something going on in their life is boring. Well, I'm going to tell you, when you live in perfect peace, you might seem boring. You don't get all up in the air about everything that's going on. And you especially won't let yourself if it's about somebody else. You keep your heart and your mind focused on God. And when you do that, you pursue a peace in every area of your life. But it does not give you the ability to get in everybody else's business and get in an uproar about it. It doesn't give you the ability to cause drama. And if you like drama, you don't like peace. If you like your life to be up in a big up, and I'm going to tell you, that sounds crazy, but there are a million people in this world like that. If their life is not up in a roar, they are not happy. They're doing things to cause their life to be up in this giant roar. And the truth is, God is offering them peace just the same way as He's offering it to us. But they don't care. But you'll hear them walking around all the time saying, I just want the peace of God. I just want the peace of God. You just want to turn around and say, okay, it's here. It's here for you, baby. It's here for you. But you've got to be a person that loves peace. That you love the peace that God brings into your relationships. You love the peace that God brings into your heart. That you love the peace that God brings into situations and circumstances. And that you are not looking for the top. You're looking for the peace. And when we can get our heart set on that kind of peace, what we do in that area of our life, we realize we already got it. You do know that God has given us the peacemaker. You know that God, Jesus said it this way. He said, when I go to heaven, I'm going to send you somebody. He said, I'm going to send you peace. I'm going to send you everything you need to tap into such a level of peace that you don't ever have to worry. You don't ever have to be in distress. So our job is to find that place in here of peace in every area of our life. Now, there's a lot of different areas that I think this covers. So we're going to be on peace for a little while, if that's okay. Because there's no way to efficiently, I think, discuss peace in one Wednesday night. But I'm going to tell you that there are ways that you stand in peace in storms. There's ways that you stand in peace in adversity. There's ways that you stand in peace when you're surrounded by the enemy. But there's also ways that you just stand in peace. You don't let the enemy come and cause your life to be chaotic. You choose to stay in a place of perpetual peace. And this world does everything it can to try to rob you of peace in your life. So you're going to have to shut out a whole lot of what the world is telling you and what the world is trying to draw you into to move in to that place, that peace that God has us. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the Prince of Peace. And there is this wonderful thing that we already have, and it's inside of us. John 14:27 says, and this is Jesus speaking. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace. My peace, the peace that Jesus had when He walked on earth, the peace that Jesus had when He hung on the cross, the peace that Jesus had when He knelt in the garden, that peace, that same peace that was inside of Him, that was saying, you know what, God is here. Your Father is not leaving you. Your Father has a plan in this. Your Father loves you. That same peace Jesus left for us. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you, but let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So Jesus understood the concept of peace. He understood that we have it. It's accessible to us at any point in time. But there will be areas of our life that the enemy will begin to rob our peace in trouble and through fear. How many of you have ever experienced that? I'm telling you, it is a daily battle to walk through life and just to allow conversations and thoughts and every one of them to be driven through the process of peace that we have inside of us. Because just naturally, we want to get upset about it. Naturally, we want to get worried about it. That's just the way our flesh works. But what God, Jesus left us is an untapped vein of peace that will never run dry. It will never run dry. It'll never say, oh, that, no, that's it. That's all you have of peace. I'm sorry. That's it. But it's not something that will ever relent. But you've got to understand what peace looks like and what peace acts like and what peace, but I'm not even going to say feeling because we don't go by what we feel, but what peace experiences to say, this is what I'm standing in right here. This is what is the peace of God in my life right here. Because our flesh, a lot of times, is adapted to worldly peace. Tranquility. Having no cares. How many of you know that's kind of the way the world offers us peace? No cares at all. You know, just lay out and just, you know, and separate yourself from anything. That's not God's peace. God's peace is an active tapped vein into the thought and the heart and the mind of God. It is an ever flooding presence of God's plan and God's purpose in your life. And you can have access to that. If you will tap into the Holy Spirit, to the Prince of Peace in every situation. But what we would like to do is, a lot of times, we would like to just come in and change situations without getting the peace of God in our life first. And God explained this to me this way. You know, like when you get on an airplane and they're all sitting there with you and the flight attendant will come up and they'll go through this long spiel, you know, about what you do and what you don't do. But they said, but when the oxygen mask, I always love watching them do that because to me that would be very difficult to do, to have to do that. Then they said, but when the oxygen mask comes down and they show you how to use it, but they always say, but first, before you help anybody else, make sure that you put it on yourself, correct? And they do that with a lot of wisdom. Because they do that because what they understand is if you're sitting over there choking, you're not going to be able to help anybody. If you're sitting over there dying, you might get half a strap on somebody, but you're not going to get a whole strap on somebody. So what they're saying is get yourself into a place where you can help somebody. Well, this is my explanation. This was God's explanation of peace to me. Why think you can walk into any situation and be and help and do until you have accessed the peace that God has for you in that situation? Because if we just move into that place with all the faith in the world and we haven't tapped into that reservoir of peace that God has for us, we're going to bring what Jesus told us is the opposite of peace, trouble and fear and anxiety. We're just going to bring that whole mess of baggage with us. And we're going to get involved in that. And we might have faith to move mountains, but we don't have the peace of God. That's what's going to guard our heart and our mind when roads begin to turn different ways than we saw it turning. Which happens in my life almost every time. God outthinks me all the time. He always does. So, we have peace accessible. But we have got to make sure we tap into that peace that God offers us, that gives us a guarded heart and a guarded mind. And it helps us to think right. And it helps us to know things. And it helps us to be able to operate in the situation God wants us to be in His thoughts. Now, 1 Thessalonians 3:16 says, now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always in every way. What that tells you is, you don't ever have an excuse not to have peace. Well, that's the correction way. What the really sweet way, this is the way my dad would say it is. You always have peace at all times. You can always tap into that place of peace. So that should be an encouragement to us. That should let us know that no matter what situation we're in, we could tap into what God has for us in that situation. So now I want to talk to you about something that I feel like is a place that robs our peace. Back before me and my husband got married, about 2 months before we got married, he felt peace about leaving a really good, secure job that he had had for years. Great benefits, wonderful thing. And going into business with a man that had branched out on his own. So he said, you know what, he really felt at peace about it. And he was about to be not just a husband, but he was about to be a husband with two toddlers. His whole life was about to change. So he really prayed about it and he had peace about it. And so right before we got married, he made this life altering change. So anybody that's went into business for yourself or even not worse than that, but can be worse than that, went into business with a partner for yourselves, knows that's not an easy road. That is not, Roger, that's not an easy road, is it? It's not. It's really not. So for the whole first year, we had a partnership with a very ungodly man, and that situation turned out so bad for him. I hated that for him. But he became an alcoholic within that year. He quit having any desire to work. Mike ended up working every day until it got to a point where he couldn't even function. And I've been there, so I understand that. And in that situation, we had hired some people and they worked for us. And it was a great step of faith. God really told us, bring them under your wing. Bring them under your wing. You brought them on. Bring them under your wing. Take your savings. Keep on paying them and watch God do something miraculous. Let me tell you, that was a great step of faith because we had just been married, first year of being married, just kind of stepped out. And in this situation, we just said, you know what? We're going to do them right. We're going to do them right. So we did. We started paying these guys out of our own pocket. And that situation with this guy, it got worse and it got worse. And he ended up calling and saying, I'm going to come get all the tools. So he didn't pay for all the tools and come get the truck. And all the way through that, that's the reason I'm telling you all this. All the way through that, we were sitting there with this other couple. These two other couples, and we were saying, you're going to have to wait and see what God's going to do here. God is going to do something amazing. They were just newly saved. They were just experiencing the situation where God, they saw God moving. And we're saying, you have to wait and see. We're all sitting in my living room, and we were sitting there, and the cops called. And they said, well, this man has called and told us to come and to take his truck. Well, the truck was not in his name. And I looked over at Mike, and we were telling these people, you know what, we're going to stand in faith. We're going to stand in faith. And Mike said, tell him to come take it. And all those, that whole thing, what did he just say? What? He said, I'm not going to fight this. This is God's battle. I'm not going to fight this. And we went 2 or 3 days with those kind of situations, where in the very last day of that, for out of the blue, we were all sitting in our living room and we had just prayed. We just prayed, God, they were all fishing to go out to work. And we just said, God, we just think that you're going to move in this. We knew God was wanting to do something. And then out of the blue that morning, this guy called and he said, come get all the tools. Come get all the truck. He said, every one of the businesses are yours. He'd been tearing down Mike's name all over around here. And God just miraculously changed that guy's heart. He didn't save him. But he changed his heart for our sake. And I'm telling you, we were sitting with a group of people who were saying, is God going to do it? Is God going to do it? And God miraculously did it. And it changed their life forever. It's so neat when you see God do things. All right, that was the first year. Then we get into the second year to where we own our own business. And it's just tough. For years, I mean, you pour every penny and every amount of energy into a business like that. You pour it, you pour it, you pour it, and you pour it, to eventually you start seeing turnaround. But it took us years. I'm going to tell you, I prayed more for that situation up until this last year almost than I had anything else. God, you told him to move out. He stood for you. With, I mean, it was such a walk of faith. That God had told us to do something and that we were stepping out and doing it. And it was year after year after year of doing the world's way, which is not the world's way. And we were beginning to see God move miraculously. We had made it into a season of our business to where, I mean, it was abundant. There was more work than we could ever do. There was more people wanting to work for him than we could ever hire. There was more money coming in than I could barely keep up with. It was just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful season to get to that place where I finally said, God, this is where you've been trying to get us to the whole time. You are so good. And so we had moved to this great place where we just knew we were going to sit there for the rest of our life. How many of you know that? God is not all about just lifting us up. I want you to know that. Though we think that, and I hear that prayed a lot, God is about lifting us up, but God is about working in our lives. So God had moved us to this great place, and it was exactly where we wanted to be. And my husband comes to me, and he comes to me and he says, honey, he says, I really feel like God is telling me to take this job over here. See, God had worked him into a situation through his company. He was working at this plant. I loved it. Plants pay a lot more money than just small businesses. I mean, I loved that place that we were at. There was endless work. And he said, I really feel like God is leading me to take a job here. And I said, oh, no, that's not God. No, that's not God. Look at where we are. Do you see how well we're doing? You know, there's no way that's God. God didn't bring us to here to put you back there. That makes no sense. How many of you ever? That made no sense to me. There was no rational thinking. People work years to get to that place of self-employment, to where their business is thriving. I'm telling you, that all makes great sense. Keep it going. Keep it going. The pedals are finally moving fast. You know, it's got its own momentum. We don't have to even push it right now. So he said, I said, honey, we got to hear God. I said, we have got to hear God on this. We've got to know what God is saying right here. And so we went through a month of praying and praying, and I never heard God. I never heard God. And I'll talk to him. He's like, you know what? I just really feel like I need to take this job. I really have a peace. I was like, that job is so much less money than we make right now. Do you understand this? Do you understand how long our family has sacrificed? What in the world would make you want to do something like that? But he just kept on constantly, honey, I just really feel like this is where God is leading me. He said, I know it wouldn't be more profitable. I understand that. He said, but I really think God wants to do something in this place. He wants to use me here. So I went to God. I'm just telling you. I said, God, why? Why would you have us do this? Looks like a turn in the direction completely against what I would ever even comprehend. How many of you ever been there? When you get up to a place and the road turns so drastically and you're standing there and you're like, what just happened? That's the places where you have to get to where the enemy will come in to rob your peace. He'll come into those places and he'll try to make you bitter. And he'll try to make you hold a grudge. And he'll try to make you even think for a second that, man, God is not in control. Let me tell you, God is in control. If you're living for God, if you're hearing God, God is in control. So I went and I prayed and I prayed, and this is what God told me. He said, this is not your decision. And that is all he ever told me. I'll tell you, he had to tell me that repeatedly. This is not your decision. It was almost in the connotation that he didn't trust me to make that decision. I wouldn't have trusted myself at that point either. I was liking where our life was at that moment. And I had to come to terms with the fact that a lot of times, guys, in situations, and the decision is not up to us. A lot of times we're in situations, and the decisions that are made for our life, they're not our choice. They're not the choice we would make. They're not the choice that we even think God would make. But in those situations, God gives us, offers us, wants us to tap into that same place of peace that he's given us all throughout the rest of our life. Because, see, if you have to make every decision for it to be a right decision, That's called control. That's control. And God really brought me to a place to where I had to decide, regardless if this makes sense, regardless if this looks right, regardless if rationally everything that's going on in my mind would tell me that this is a bad decision, this is not my decision to make. And I had to step back and I just had to say, God, I got to have peace right here. I got to tap into something. Because see, the way you can have peace in those situations is you trust God. I didn't trust Mike 100% at that time. I was not that good of a wife at that time in my life at all. But I'm going to tell you, I came to a place where I had to trust somebody. So I just decided I was going to trust God. I was going to trust God. Now, I remember when the call came in and he decided, I said, honey, the decision is yours. God has told me it's not mine to make. Please make the right decision. Please make the right decision. I mean, have you ever been there where, I mean, a decision for your job, a decision for your kids, a decision that is life altering for your family. Those decisions, a lot of times we don't have any control over. So we've got to stand back and say, God, our life is in your hands. And that's what I did. I said, Mike, this is... But make sure you hear God. Make sure you hear God. See, the enemy was trying to get me to be afraid and to be troubled because God didn't give me the authority and the place to make that decision. But regardless if I had the authority or the place, God has final authority over my life. And regardless if I'm connected with people that he's got in a process of growing or not, God is going to do good to me. God is going to do good to me. And that's the promise you have no matter what ways you're involved in. If your ways are lined up with God's ways for your life, it's going to be good for you. So we were at the zoo. I don't know how we ended up there. And he got that call that they were accepting his offer. And he looked at me and he said, honey, it's done. And I just looked at him and I started to bawl. I'm embarrassed to say that now. They have a train at the zoo. Have you ever been to Little Rock Zoo? All right. I got on that train all by myself. Oh, I did. That train guy had to think I was insane. I got on that train all by myself and I said, you got to just give me a minute. I said, you got to just give me a minute. And he took the kids over and I rode that train and I said, God, you got to, by the time this train comes back around, you got to get me okay with this. You got to give me some peace in this moment because I know without a doubt, everything in me tells me that this is not right, but I know that's rational. Spiritual tells me I can trust God. So all the way around that train ride, I'm telling you, I was the crazy lady crying on the train. There is no idea what was going through that man's mind. He's like, this lady is crazy. I hope she don't have a bomb on here. You know, something that was probably, he thought we were having the worst fight of our life. But before we got back to that station, I had made a decision in my heart. God, I'm going to trust you today. Like I've never trusted you before. I'm going to believe that you are walking us into good steps. I'm going to believe that you would not allow my path to go crooked. It might be turning, but this turn in this direction, it's in your hands. And regardless if I feel like I can trust Mike, which I could, I trust you. And that is where peace brings you to. That is what peace taps us into. Now, how many of you remember Paul? Paul in the Bible. In Acts, we find this story, and I'm going to tell you, I'm constantly reminded of this story with Paul. Because what happened here is, Paul had been put in prison, and then he'd been changed around by a bunch of different people. But see, they'd have been Paul. Paul had been told, you're going to stand before Caesar. That was a promise that was made to Paul. You're going to stand before Caesar. So Paul had this unction to keep on going where God was taking him. Whether it be prison, to wherever he was going, he was letting God take him. I'm going to tell you, that's what peace feels like in your life. You're just flowing with God. You aren't in control. God's in control. If God tells you to stop, you'll stop in a second. But peace is, I'm flowing with God. He is a good guide along this path of life we have. So we see Paul get to this place in Acts 27:9. And it says, now when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, and Paul had advised them. Paul came and advised them, and he said, men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also our lives. So here's where we see Paul came to a place where he had been in storms after storms after storms. But all of a sudden, Paul comes to a place to where he realizes if he gets on this boat, that might not be good for him. And if this decision, which is not up to him, he had to step out and say, hey, I don't perceive that this is a good idea. You have the ability to let people know, hey, I don't think this is the best idea. And I would honestly, if you pray about it, I would say do it. For your peace of mind. For your peace of mind. But you've got to come to a point where you understand, just like Paul did, that decision was not his to make. That decision was not his to make. Now, when you come back to this word, here's what this word means. It says, men, I perceive. Now, that word perceive, I just looked it up this morning because I really thought it meant like a super spiritual word. I thought that word perceive would mean like knowing in your spirit, right? Being led by the Holy Spirit. He knew something was coming, of course, because something did come. But that word perceive does not mean that. That word perceive right there, it comes from the word theology, and it means his thinking. It means that there was no spiritual application involved in that. Paul could say, we've been in storms in the past. There's storms up ahead. I can see that if we get on this boat, I can even rationalize. I can't rationalize any reason that we should get on that boat. There's a storm coming. Paul was sitting there, and everything he thought meant exactly what it meant at that time. Disaster was coming. That's why Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let you be afraid. How often do we see Paul in fear? How often do we see him thinking and having thoughts that are mental and that they're causing him to say, hey, if I get on that boat, I won't be alive. Do you remember what Paul said? He said, much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives. Well, Paul had been given a promise. Paul had been told, you're going to see Caesar. That's going to come about in your life. You're going to stand before kings. You're going to be able to tell what God has done in your life. Paul knew that was a part of his process. But when Paul began to rationalize what probably should happen, it caused him to move into a place of fear. I'm going to tell you, this is where God's peace comes in and changes everything. See, Paul could not decide to not get on that boat. He probably could have thrown a fit, like a lot of us have at times, like I have. He probably could have stomped his feet. He probably could have pulled him, you know, and had to force him out. Oh, this guy's too much trouble. We're not putting him on this boat. But you know what Paul decided once he found out he had to get on that boat? God takes care of me. God takes care of me. What am I thinking crazy for? God ordains my steps. God leads and guides me everywhere I go, everything I do, even if it's up to somebody else's decision, God is still in control. That peace we can tap into in every situation in our life, and we can say, God, you know what? No matter where you put me, I'm going to trust you. No matter where you put me, I'm going to fight rational thinking. I'm going to fight sudden fears. I'm going to fight every thought of disaster. And I'm going to say, God, you have placed me in a perfectly secure place because my eyes are on you. Because the Bible says that he keeps us in perfect peace when our eyes are on him. See, when you get your eyes on what can happen, should happen, even would happen, you instantly lose your peace. You instantly start to grumble and complain. I'm going to tell you, Paul could have been a man sitting on that boat saying, I told you not to get on here. I told you, and I probably would have been that. I told you not to get up on this boat. I told you this boat was going to come apart in pieces. The boat came apart in pieces. It really did. It ripped apart. They all ended up in the water swimming for their lives. But you know what? Because Paul chose to be a man of peace, every one of their lives were saved. Every one of their lives were saved. I'm going to tell you, if Paul was not on that boat, probably every one of their lives would have been lost. Every one of their lives would have been lost. God uses peace in our life. Other people's get to benefit from it. There's this wonderful scripture I want to end with. And it is an incredible way to understand how God uses peace. In Luke 10:6, it says, if someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. So here's what God is looking for. God is looking for someone he can avenue his peace into, and he can attach his peace into, like Paul. And when Paul gets out on there on that boat, the peace of God flows through him, and it don't just guard his mind, it guards everybody that is on that boat with him. See, peace of God, it keeps us under the protection of God, because what we understand is, it's not up to us anyways, it's up to him. And we know that God has led us into that place. See, Paul knew once he stepped on that boat, all right, God, this is your way. This is your way. You led me here. You didn't open up another door. This is where this road turned. I don't understand how the road turned this way, but this is your will. You've got to know, if God, if you're following God, if you're hearing God, if that road turns, turn with it. Don't resist. Don't resist where God is leading you. Because a lot of times it's the same thing that God told me. It's just not your decision. It's just not your decision. For a lot of reasons, for that man reasons, God knew that Paul needed to be on that boat. Paul knew that those men's lives needed to be saved. He knew that there was an island somewhere, that those men needed to know what God could do and to have God in their heart. God needed Paul on that boat. So that term did not mean rejection. That term did not mean he was not following God. That term did not mean you had missed God. That term meant, Paul, get on the boat. Get on the boat and have peace in me. You don't got to make every decision. You don't got to know everything that's ahead. What you got to know is God has called me to do what I'm doing today. And if it takes a turn, it's turning. If it takes a turn, it's turning. And I'm turning with it. I want us all to just bow our heads just for a second. Because I think a lot of us are in the same place. I think a lot of us are in the same moment. I think God is really moving through all of our lives, and he's perfecting all of us. But one thing I know that God offers every single person is peace. It's a peace that wherever you're at, if it's where God has called you to be, that whatever is going on, that what God has called you to do, that he wants to give you peace today in it. So Father, right now, Holy Spirit, I just ask you to speak peace into our lives today. We resist fear. We resist any forms of resisting and going against what God says and being bitter and being angry and even being hurt, God, over the directions that our lives have turned. God, we are at peace in our heart because we know that you are our Father and we know you're leading us. Father, thank you. Thank you for protecting me. Thank you for leading me. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to be the one that can promote peace in this situation. I want you to just ask God in your heart, Father, how can I promote peace in this moment? In this situation, in this place, whether it be in your own heart or in you coming into agreement with something that you've been resisting, that you knew you shouldn't have been resisting. But it just didn't seem right to you. It just went against anything you could even think or imagine could be good. So, Father, help me to promote peace. Not the world's peace, but the supernatural peace that comes from you. A peace that'll guard my heart and guard my mind against every lie, against every fear, against every manipulation that the enemy tries to use on me. I resist it right now, and I am anchored secure in your peace today. And I'm just going to flow with you. Holy Spirit, we're just going to flow with you. The rest of this year, the rest of our lives, we're just going to flow along the path of peace that you have for us. And when you tell us to stop, we're going to stop. But when you tell us to go, regardless if we want to. Remember, Jesus said that about Peter. He said, you're going to go to places you don't want to go. Men are going to lead you. That was prophetic for Peter. But I'm going to tell you, that's the truth about you. God's going to lead you into some situations you don't want to be in. God's going to put you on some leaky ship sometimes. But one thing about it is, God wants to use you to be the one that can promote peace, that can save the lost. Life is not about promoting ourselves. Life is about caring and loving and being led by God. Help us, God, to have eyes and to have ears and to have a heart that is anchored in your peace in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray.